Riot, and you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
This is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smart his guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm suspecting it's about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning, and you're listening to All Freaking Fag Revolutionary Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you will be brought to the web page for this radio program. The WBAI website and its archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 140th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the entire multiverse for this past fortnight is we are down to a total of 125 followers on Twitter. Yes, we lost a follower this past fortnight. We have no idea why. And, this is something that's been going on throughout the entire multiverse. Everybody is talking about almost nothing else but this. And, of course, it's still a huge number. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 12th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. Summer is here. Yes, summer showed up just when we said it would do that. And so here we are saying, whoopee, whoopee, here is summer. We, of course, told you, you know, it was going to happen. We told you when it was going to happen. And we were preempted a week ago. And so we didn't get to celebrate it happening then. But here we are. It's summertime. And we really enjoy the hell out of summertime. Well, I enjoy the hell out of summertime. Pickles of the North may have a differing opinion.
Right now, if we had just a regular hot summer, I wouldn't care at all.
We are. If you hear us coughing or choking during this program, it's probably because we smell smoke. No, the building isn't burning down. It's that the air is full of smoke. And although we have all of the windows shut and sealed as best we can get them, In fact, this is an old building. This building is more than 90 years old that we live in, and it's porous as all hell. It was erected during the Great Depression. There were a lot of shortcuts taken, and basically the backs of things aren't sealed off. And so once any stuff, smell, whatever, gets into the building, it travels, which also includes somebody cooking some crap that, who wants to smell that? And also, cat urine really carries through this building. We've had summers of that, all right. But right now, it's smoke. We smell smoke. We're hoping that we're not getting too poisoned by the smoke. But there's smoke. We could end up coughing during this program. And pardon us, that'll be life.
Oh, we could always put on a mask.
Yes, a mask. Yeah, that ain't gonna, I don't think, probably not a good idea. The Centers for Disease Control's website isn't giving us a lot of up-to-date information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that total deaths are up to 1,132,206, which means that 1,414 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program 2 weeks ago. That's an average of about 707 people a week dying of COVID-19, which is very similar to what it had been before our last program. The CDC says that there's been a 1.1% downtick in COVID-19 deaths in the past week, which I guess is that 7 difference, you know. So anyway, average of 707 a week. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can as well. And we mention this all the time just to let those of you who really are paying attention to the pandemic, the deadly pandemic, let you know you're not the only ones who figure it's not over and it's still killing people. Yeah, you're not alone. Well, we can't go over all the stuff that's happened in the past fortnight, not in a 55-minute program where we have to also do pitching later. Hey, it's only 5 minutes this week. Woohoo, only 5 minutes of pitching instead of 7. Anyway, we can't go over everything, but I did want to just mention that the big thing of a week ago, and this would have been something we would have talked about if we'd been on last week, the Wagner Group. Yes, and it's pronounced Wagner, and people are calling it Wagner, and I guess that's the way they've been writing it, but I saw the Cyrillic of it. I saw their emblem or flag or banner, whatever you call it. And I can read a bit of Cyrillic because in my youth, I was busy trying to become a decent chess player. Failed at that. However, part of it was I taught myself how to read a tiny bit of Russian. I can't speak it. I can sound out some of the words in it. I can very rapidly recognize the name Mikhail Botvinnik if you have it in Cyrillic in Russian, because he was a world champion chess player for a while. And so there's that kind of thing. So I looked at it, and it said Wagner. It has that B, that capital B, which is a V in Cyrillic Russian. And so I said, it's got to be Wagner. And yes, the TV programs that they had on after it, and we would have gone on the air before those Sunday TV programs, there were people pronouncing it the Wagner Group. And so that is it. It's Wagner. And I don't know, maybe I don't know what the hell's going on with the pronunciation, but wow, is this Yevgeny Prigozhin guy still alive, I wonder? They're saying, yeah, he's in Belarus. I don't know that they've heard from him. They heard from this Lukashenko criminal in Belarus, who said, oh, yeah, he's here, he's fine, yeah. Our good buddy, our good buddy, Yevgeny Prigozhin. Yeah. Yeah, he's here. No problem with him. You know, meanwhile, he could be, you know, at the bottom of a lake somewhere. But anyway, that was quite something to see that these guys got all pissed off and said, we're going to march on Moscow. And they started doing it. And they got within 125 miles of it or so. And then he says, well, I'm going to turn around and go back. Why? It might have been that, you know, who knows? Maybe he was drunk when he said, let's go march on Moscow. And they were all drunk. They're mercs. They're mercenaries called mercs. And, you know, they don't have the general discipline and stuff of a regular army, which is why they operate the way they do in other countries and are war criminals. And so, you know, in a real army that's doing things, you at least try to keep the war criminality down to a minimum. With mercs, you can't do that because you're paying those guys. They're there for the money. And your cause, bleep your clause, we want the dough. And if there's something over here that we can loot, we'll do it. If there are other crimes we can commit against people, yeah, we'll have fun with that too. And there's not a whole lot you can do. But so, yeah, he I think maybe he got loaded. I'm sure that given the propensity for alcoholism in the Russian military, I'm sure the Russian merc military isn't exactly a teetotaling bunch. So maybe he got really blasted and says, let's go, guys. People do things on impulse. And, you know, he got marching along, and they did shoot down some planes, apparently. And he's going along, and maybe somebody said, wow, look at how many divisions Putin is putting up in the south of Moscow to meet us. And he might have said, geez, this might not work out. And, you know, being a merc himself, he doesn't have a great cause to fight for. So he says, you know, I want to enjoy the millions I've made as an oligarch and stolen over the years. I want to enjoy my ill-gotten gains rather than being tortured to death in one of Putin's prisons. So they got a deal brokered where one of the other criminals, Lukashenko of Belarus, managed to make it so Prigozhin, something like that. There are various ways to pronounce Russian names. Yevgeny and his boys just hightailed it off to the west to go into Belarus. And that was the big story there. And oh boy, people were thinking, is this going to lead to a nuclear war? And what would happen? What would happen if Putin is replaced by somebody else? It's going to depend on who replaces him. It could be somebody who's worse. It could be somebody who has no concept of international diplomacy, of international relations, maybe has no concept of what nuclear weapons are like. Might have an idea of, look, I can fix this Ukrainian thing with 5 nukes, and just goes and does it. Not thinking about, there are other people with nukes, and they may now be really furious, and hey, gee whiz, how is Sebastopol going? How's Vladivostok looking right now? And it may be in very bad shape. So it could really be bad because we could replace one awful dictator with a more awful dictator, or worse than an awful dictator, a stupid, uneducated one. You don't know who's going to take over in something like that. Could be some outright barbarian. And so, it was really people getting, oh boy, this could get really bad, but it got tamped down. But I do wonder if we're ever going to see Yevgeny Prigozhin again. Who knows? But it's interesting how the huge story of one weekend is nearly disappeared the next. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And it's sweltering in our studio, and oh boy, do we ever smell smoke in here. And, oh man, of course, this isn't the worst it can get, although Pickles may be feeling it's pretty bad. My dear, do you have something from history to tell us about?
Yes, I do. This has to do with not, you know, wildfire smoke, which is really bad because you've got like an entire country almost that's on fire, you know. And of course, July 1st is Canada Day, so this is going to be one of the weirdest Canada Days ever, where, you know, the loss of the boreal forest is going to be really, really awful. And in the meantime, you've had 20,000 people displaced, and everybody's air is getting poisoned across North America, across the Atlantic.
And in Brooklyn.
And in Brooklyn, yes, right now in Brooklyn, especially for us, because we're having problems here. There's a little book I really love. It's called Weather and Illustrated History. And each chapter is only one page long, but it starts like at the very beginning of the formation of the Earth, and it goes on from there. And there's one chapter, and it covers the year 1952, and I just thought I'd share it with you. If you're sitting right now thinking, oh, is this a lovely Saturday morning? Oh, it would be if I could go out and breathe. Wear a mask if you go out, because you really need one this weekend. It's all about London's great smog. Coal was a heating fuel in London as long ago as the Middle Ages. By the 19th century, as populations grew, coal burning was frequently linked to episodes of noxious air, as Charles Dickens noted in the Dictionary of London in 1882. Nothing could be more deleterious to the lungs and the air passages than the wholesale inhalation of the foul air and floating carbon, which combined form a London fog. Eesh. But all previous pollution pulses paled beside what came to be known as the Great Smog, which enveloped the city for 5 days, starting on December 5th, 1952. Through an unusually prolonged cold snap, coal stoves worked overtime heating homes. Under normal circumstances, the smoke would have risen into the atmosphere and dispersed, but a high-pressure system over the city caused a temperature inversion that trapped the building plume along with humid air. Oh, this is so familiar to us right now. As Britain's meteorological agency, the Met Office, has explained, the pollution could have acted as a catalyst for fog, with water condensing on the tiny particles. The resulting mix of chemicals and water created acidic conditions that could have worsened skin and breathing problems. A toxic fog enveloped and paralyzed the city. Black slime coated sidewalks and roads. Double-decker buses had to be guided through the streets by a conductor walking ahead, wielding a light. In the end, the acidic fog sent 150,000 people to hospitals and was linked to as many as 12,000 deaths. The incident resulted in the passage of the UK's Clean Air Act of 1956 and subsequent updates banning smoky emissions. In recent years, the industrializing cities of China and India have had their turn grappling with terrible smog episodes fueled by a 21st century brew of pollutants from coal burning, car exhausts, and cooking fires. And of course, we must add the perpetual forest fires to all of this now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, in my life, I've never seen the forest fire thing going like this. You say, okay, it is a, you know, Smokey the Bear tells you about it, and it's a forest fire. But this thing of Canada burning like this is not going to be any forest left up there after a while. There are over, last I heard, there were more than 500 separate fires out of control in Canada.
Yes, the fires are out in the wilderness, so they are very hard to reach. The people who have had to be evacuated are largely the indigenous communities that live right next to where some of the fires are happening. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. We talk an old growth forest, the boreal forest, which I believe Canada has the largest boreal forest in the world. What is a boreal forest? It is a northern forest. It is full of pine and I think birch. And it's burning. It's burning. It's burning. And it's not going to stop burning until probably winter. Now, I don't want to alarm you. Winter comes earlier in that part of the country because it's up closer to the Arctic Circle, right? But still, it's so awful.
Well, you figure the snow will damp down the fires.
It should. I mean, they're very difficult to get to because they are so, this is very isolated parts of Quebec.
There's a new phenomenon being observed. This is, at altitudes, it's not snowing, it's raining. And at about 10,000 feet or so, they're noticing on mountains and things where you would usually get snow coming down and, you know, adding to the snowpack. Now it's raining. And this is different from what's been happening in people's experiences all these centuries. And so at about 10,000 feet, for some reason, it's raining instead of snowing these days. And this is having an effect on the American West because they rely on the snowpack to, you know, melt in the summertime and let the water come down. But now the rain is coming in and it's just the rain up there and everything slides down at once. So you get flooding and not so much water that you can use. And they're observing this on mountains all over the place. The Alps are having it. The Himalayas are having this happen. So this is something new nobody had thought of before in terms of the climate crisis. And it appears to be just another, hey, you guys never thought this could happen, did you? Ha ha. So let's hope it does snow in Canada on some of the elevated places like the Laurentians. Cross your fingers.
Well, this is so much farther out where this is happening than the Laurentians.
Ah.
So, you know.
Well, maybe it'll snow on them. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And this, of course, is our annual Christopher Street Liberation Day program, also known as the Pride Program. And so this is when we talk about this stuff, and we usually talk about having gone to the march and marched in it, and we tell about our complaints about it and everything else. And usually a bit of history. Well, we didn't go to the Christopher Street Liberation Day march again this year, but we did watch it on TV. I'm really hoping that I'll be able to get into better physical shape so I can go marching next year, if we can in fact find a group we can be in and, you know, see how this works, because the way they're doing it these days is different from the way we used to do it years ago, and a little confusing at times. And so, as I say, we watched it on TV, and on Channel 7, they had some technical problem with broadcasting the basketball game that was supposed to be on after the march coverage. So they had their march coverage go on for an extra 45 minutes. Okay. And people are trying to, you know, ad-lib, and they're not ad-libbers. These are people who are trained and have a talent for look at the teleprompter, read it with emotion, and make it seem like you really do it. And that's what they do. They read their teleprompters, and they do it, and that's what they – that's how they perform. They're not used to saying, well, here we are, and things unexpected are happening, and they don't have the ability to stand there and talk about stuff. At most, they have to get somebody and do like a quasi interview with somebody else, and you know, have them carry it all. So that part was amusing, but we got to see some extra stuff in the coverage, various people and groups that we would otherwise not have seen if it had ended at the usual time. We did notice that the movement groups were the ones that were not big deals, the ones that didn't have a lot of money behind them. They never got on TV again. So we're watching there, and it was 3:45 before they went away. March starts at noon, 3:45. Those groups aren't even there. And, yeah, that's the way it goes with these things these days. Not good, in my opinion. And some of the groups that did get on TV were rather small. I know that they're limiting. They say they're limiting to each group to 100 people. Some of these groups had maybe 20 people, maybe fewer, and you gotta wonder what's happening here. I mean, I don't have a problem with those small groups, but why did they get that favored position? I'm not sure how this goes. I mean, I think it would be good to have the various movement groups showing up on TV. Maybe some people, and there are conservative LGBT plus infinity people who said, oh, you know, those ragtag other people, we don't really want them around. On the other hand, you also have the other march that is becoming a regular thing now. And maybe a lot of those groups were boycotting this one and going for that one. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do next year. Will I go in one, the official one or the wacky one or what? I'm not sure what I'll do next year. We'll see. Maybe they'll all ban me. Maybe that'll happen because I just called one of them wacky. Okay. Then they might. So, yeah, that was an interesting thing. And as regular listeners know, I was a militant gay activist years ago. I was in the Gay Activists Alliance. A lot of those big deal groups that you hear of now, Lambda Legal and even the what is now called the National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, I think they might have a few more letters on there, Task Force, also came out of GAA, although not nicely. I won't get into all of how they ripped us off. And, you know, so there was that and some of those groups. And I was in GAA, and we did ZAPS. We brought the first written gay rights bill. See, gay was the inclusive term then. We didn't have to have LGBT plus, you know, and all these different, I mean, different people have different numbers of letters. Some of the letters go on a long time. It was gay then. Everybody said, yeah, we're all gay. This is it. So that was it. And we had the first gay rights bill we brought in. We were pushing for marriage, what is now called marriage equality back then, and all of this. And yeah, that's the stuff we were doing. Other people were out, you know, doing supportive things, but being not too organized about it. Anyway, so I was in the middle of all that. And so I remember a whole bunch of things about those days. And I was listening to a snippet on another radio station. Our Paul can listen to another radio station. It was just a little bit. I heard like 30 seconds on another radio station. And they had a piece about a gay veteran who was helping other gay veterans who had gotten bad discharges in the past, trying to rectify that. Because, of course, you can be gay, bisexual in the military now. You can do that. But before that, you had don't ask, don't tell, which was some people said, no, you shouldn't be able to have that even. And that was where you had to keep it secret. If you kept it secret, they wouldn't throw you out. which was sort of an improvement over the previous thing, which was, if we think you're queer, you're going to get a bad discharge. Literally, that could be it. People who weren't gay at all got bad discharges for homosexuality or something similar to that. And there's a particular code for this, because there are various ways of getting discharged. The important one is an honorable discharge. Okay, you get that. Another one is a dishonorable discharge. There is also a general discharge. There is a discharge for the good of the service, and there are some others. The dishonorable discharge, or that has other flavors to it as well. That one can really hurt. And so, yeah, before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it was a simple thing of, you know, the commander says, "Are you queer?" And if you say no, he'll threaten you with lying to an officer. And you'll be court-martialed and sent to prison for it. And if you say yes, he says, "Well, then we're going to give you a dishonorable discharge." That scenario has actually happened. It's a little bit foreshortened in the way I tell about it, but that kind of thing has happened in the past. Some people are now able to try and get their bad discharges rectified. And they talked about that a little bit, and that's a good thing. And it reminded me of Wally. I figure I shouldn't give his last name, although I strongly suspect that Wally is no longer with us. He was fairly close to my father's age, and my father would be 100 years old right now. And if Wally were with us, I think he would also be pushing 100 by now. And Wally was in World War II. He was a corpsman, which is the Navy version of a medic. A medic is a guy who goes out and has medical stuff with him, and if somebody gets wounded, he tries to patch them up. Frequently, medics and corpsmen save people's lives, and they get shot at. So, Wally was a corpsman in the Pacific Theater of Operations of World War II. He didn't talk much about it. He did mention Tarawa. Yeah, he mentioned Tarawa a little bit. The Battle of Tarawa happened in November 1943. Tarawa is a tiny atoll in the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the small islands that the American military had decided had to be taken. The biggest part of the island is about 2 miles long and less than half a mile wide at its widest. It's basically a sandbar on top of part of a coral reef, and it's surrounded by coral reefs that are still have the water on them. And, of course, America and the Allies were fighting the Japanese Empire at that time, and the Japanese knew that Tarawa was going to be targeted. It was obvious what had to be done, because you had to go to that one before you could get to the next islands, because otherwise you got people in back of you and you get hurt. And so the Japanese spent almost a full year beefing up Tarawa to resist the invasion. And again, it's 2 miles by at most less than half a mile wide. The Japanese commander who was in charge of beefing up Tarawa was an engineer, and he knew how to turn a coral reef with sand on top of it into a fortress. Just before the battle happened, he was replaced by Rear Admiral Keiji Shibazaki of the Imperial Japanese Navy, who told his troops that, quote, "It would take 1 million men 100 years, unquote, to conquer Tarawa, because you've got this small place and it is just full of things, traps, pillboxes, oh, just loads of things, mines, everything you can think of that an engineer, a military engineer, could think of if he has a full year and conscripted, well, slave labor from Korea and other countries coming in to build bunkers, pour concrete, do this, that, and the other thing. So he had almost a year to build this thing into a hellish fortress. And so he figured it would take a million men to do it. Well, he said it would take a million men 100 years. The battle only lasted a few days. But the 2nd Marines had 1,009 men killed and more than twice that number wounded. The Japanese garrison at the start of the battle had 3,636 men. After the battle, only one officer and 16 enlisted men surrendered. All other Japanese troops were killed in the battle. Wally was a corpsman in that meat grinder, so he saw the dead and the wounded men, mostly very young men. War damages people like nothing else can. A shell goes off right next to you, you can be blown to pieces. That's true. What most people don't know is that if you get shot in like your shoulder, like they show on TV, your arm may end up several yards in back of you. And there are all sorts of wounds you can get. You could probably live without an arm, but if nobody gets to you real fast, you'll bleed out rapidly. Arms, legs, people get cut in half. People get shot. They get shot in the belly. Looks like it's not that bad. However, one of the reasons armies use high-power rifles is because they keep going. They go through the soft tissue. One of the aims is that the bullet will go through your spinal cord. And so war injuries are especially heinous. Wally served in the capacity of a corpsman through the war. When the war was over, Wally was given a bad discharge for being homosexual. Now, Wally was not a butch guy. He was a little bit effeminate. Just a bit, not a lot, a little bit effeminate. I'm not sure it's a word that's used anymore. There may be a more politically correct word for it. I don't know if effeminate is politically incorrect. I just don't know. Being looked at as effeminate and not really being needed for the war anymore, the way he was got him targeted, and it's what got him an other than honorable discharge. This affected his ability to get various jobs, especially after World War II, when just about everybody got out with an honorable discharge, and the common thing was, oh, were you in the war? Yes, I was. A lot of places you had to show them your DD-214, which is your discharge papers. And if you had a bad discharge, you had to show it to people if you wanted a job. This meant you were probably not getting that job. This was bad news. Wally and some other gay veterans of World War II were trying to get their discharges changed to something less damning when we were all in GAA together. They had all served, but they were thrown out of the service when the war ended, and they had no rights to veterans' services like health care and education benefits. It's hard to imagine today how damning such a bad discharge was back then. You figure it's 1945, 46, and almost everybody else has an honorable discharge. It's relatively rare to have a bad one, and the other bad ones are usually people who got court-martialed for cowardice or rape or some serious war crime or stealing all the money in the company's treasury or something and stuff like that, instead of, we think you're queer, which was the charge. Anyway, so back then, you know, this was really, really something to have a discharge like that. And it was a time when there was no concept of gay rights. It didn't exist. So there was very little hope of reversing the Navy's bad discharges, which these guys got back then. So this was some pretty terrible stuff, and I was thinking of Wally. And all of the Wallys. So, we have a tradition on this program. We play this piece of music. And here we go.
Some remain, always play. something new.
Yeah, that's for Wally and all the other Wallys. All right, well, let's go. What's wrong with the pitching train? It doesn't... Oh, I know. It needs to be powered up. Powering up the pitching train here. We got to get that train going. Yeah, this is how we power things up at BAI. Okay, I think that's it. Yes, it is. Here comes the WBAI pitching train. All right, here we go. We're coming down a track, and we're going to say, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and we are listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, and we are asking you to keep us alive. Yes, we don't have regular commercials. We have us begging you for money. We are listener-sponsored. You are the sponsor. If you aren't yet, you can become one now. Please, help us out. Call 1-212-209-2950. And when the call center picks up, say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Yes, you can tell them that, and they'll ask you some questions, and you'll give them your credit card or debit card number. You'll tell them how much you would like to donate every month. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership, and you give a certain amount of money every month, $10 or more, as much as you would like. Can't be less than $10. $10 or more every month, and it could be $10, $15, $20. And you tell them also what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that, and you will become a BAI buddy, and you will help to keep WBAI going. If you want to make a one-time donation, you may do that. And you can make a one-time donation by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to make a one-time donation. So please give them a call at that number. Call the call center. And yes, we have all sorts of strange things going on this radio station. You don't hear stuff like going on about people we used to know who got really screwed by the Navy and the military in general. And there are other things you don't hear anyplace else. You also, if you're listening now, you may value these what are called overnight programs. Between midnight and 6 a.m., we have these programs that are not your standard radio programs. Well, we're here and we do this. We do unusual radio. Let's put it that way. Not the standard radio you'll get on most FM stations or AM stations either. So we're asking you to help keep us going. One of the things people have suggested is let's rent out WBAI's air between midnight and 6 a.m. That would wipe out all of the overnight programs. And I think that would be a bad thing. If you want to help keep the overnight programs on the air, especially this one, please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-212-209-2950. We do need to hear from some folks. We do need to hear from some folks right around now. Oh, boy, oh, boy. 1-212-209-2950. Unfortunately, of course, we have to be pre-recorded. We have no way of knowing if you're calling right now, but we will be informed later on. And I know we do have three BAI buddies, and we have some other people who've donated one-time donations, but we need to get some more. It would be good if we could show management that there are more people listening to this program, and not just listening to it, but also being willing to donate to keep the program on the station and keep the station alive. 1-212-209-2950. Please, could you give us a call at that number right now? When they pick up at the call center, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And that will be something that will help us out a whole hell of a lot. All right. Thanks, and we hope that you will do that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Okay, moving really fast. Yes, some of the stuff that's been happening in this past, well, not so much the past fortnight as in this past week, is the Supreme Court doing all sorts of things, some of it bad, some of it, you know, trying to make believe they're good. Affirmative action. They have struck down affirmative action for getting into college. Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote in dissent, and of course it's 6-3. It's the right wing 6 against the normal 3. And Sotomayor, being one of the 3, writes in her dissent that the decision cements, quote, a superficial rule of colorblindness as a constitutional principle in an endemically segregated society where race has always mattered and continues to matter, unquote. And it should be noted that, you know, saying, oh, we can't have race mentioned in the Constitution. Well, it is. The 14th Amendment, ratified in the aftermath of the Civil War, was expressly intended to allow for race-conscious legislation. And Justice Sotomayor noted that. The Supreme Court did rule against the so-called, quote, independent state legislature theory, unquote, not a real theory. Of course, that's the thing it says, a state can totally control federal elections. Imagine how that would go. However, Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch dissented from that. How could they? Are they? Oh, man. Wow. That was what Trump was trying to pull off on January 6, 2021. Some people think that the Supreme Court did this particular decision to make it seem like they're not 100% bad. But how could anyone vote in favor of that nonsense? It really would destroy the United States of America in pretty short order, because you would have the gerrymandering would probably get even worse, and you would have the Republicans being able to say, well, we don't think the election ran well, so we're going to not bother with poll taxes and stopping people from voting for president. We're just going to say we get to pick who the electors will be, who will be in the Electoral College. And of course, they will also, for more local things, they will start not allowing people to vote and stuff like that. And all sorts of things, and probably give you a religious test. Do you go to church on Sunday? What church do you go? And, you know, they could try to do that. But how could Thomas Alito and Gorsuch, being judges, they were judges before they got in the Supreme Court, how could they possibly have gotten through law school and thought something like this wasn't devastatingly bad for America? And, of course, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of an evangelical Christian graphic artist from Colorado who does not want to create wedding websites for same-sex couples, despite the state's protective anti-discrimination law. This is the thin end of the wedge. And by the way, there was no problem there. How did she have standing to do this? I would like you people to make law. They always say, oh, the Supreme Court shouldn't be making laws. Here they are making law. She didn't have nobody came to her and said, I want you to make a cake of two gay men. they didn't do that. They probably, you know, don't want to go near her. But she decided to go to the Supreme Court. And obviously the right wing maneuvered this through the courts because they knew it would get to the Supreme Court and it would do this. Thin end of the wedge. More discrimination coming. And Republicans have been falling over each other, passing anti-LGBT plus affinity laws. Apparently, the publicity of Pride Month got them all salivating over their bigotry. The national president of the Log Cabin Republicans, Charles Moran, he said, quote, "Do I think there are elements of the conservative movement taking advantage and trying to claw things back? Yes, duh," unquote. The duh isn't his. The duh is mine. Anyway, the Log Cabin Republicans is a gay Republican club that's been getting rejected and really treated badly by the right-wing Republicans. But Mr. Moran went on to say, quote, "A couple of years ago, this was pretty much settled. And the reason it's being reopened is because of the far left," unquote. I don't think so. I think it's because they always hated us and they now see a chance. Yeah, Mr. Moran is, you know, maybe he's just not that bright and he doesn't see these things. But this is what's happening. And it's terrible stuff. And yeah, we got big fights ahead of us and something has to be done about the Supreme Court. I think those six right-wing people need to get off the Supreme Court. Somehow. That's it for Back of the Book. What's coming up next?
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
Okay, we should be back here next week. Meanwhile, have a nice 4th of July if you can. Don't get stuck by any fireworks or anything. And while you're out there, enjoy the summer, you know, when the smoke clears. And above all, remember what that Remembering Wally and the Others Dormouse said. Street.
David Kenny of Everything Old is New Again every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. Because everything old is new again. I like it.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
These leaks are slowly and systematically destroying us.
You're right, Henry. No. Damn right. No.
This week on WBAI Playhouse, Saturday evening at 8 p.m., Top Secret, the battle for the Pentagon Papers.
All right. We'll take care of the press and the courts. No. But that's not enough. No. We've got to turn it around from the PR angle. No. Use it against the Democrats.
No.
After all, they're the ones who screwed up the damn war. Now, what about this guy, Daniel Ellsberg?
He's a nut. The most dangerous man in America.
Top Secret, the battle for the Pentagon Papers, documents what happened in the late 60s when a classified U.S. government study of the Vietnam War concluded that the war was unwinnable. One of the contributors, Daniel Ellsberg, decided the public needed to know the truth, and he leaked the study to the press. The result shook America. It challenged the First Amendment, and you'll hear all this in Top Secret, the battle for the Pentagon Papers, WBAI Playhouse, Saturday evening, July 1st, 8 p.m., right here on listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
Extinction Diaries. Almost every coral reef on the planet is disappearing. Coral reefs may be the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Polyps are the animals that build reefs that range from large colonies to small solitary organisms. There are thousands of species, mostly in warm, shallow waters, but also in deep, colder waters. Coral is called the rainforests of the ocean, and one-fourth of all fish depend on them for habitat and food. So far, scientists know several reasons for the dying. Global warming is raising the temperature of the oceans as the oceans absorb more and more carbon dioxide. This creates a more acidic ocean that literally burns away the coral polyp. This is also true for shellfish, shrimp, krill, and even planktons. Another factor is pesticides being released into the oceans from rivers that absorb the pesticides from agriculture and all other pesticide use. Scientists are warning us now that over 90% of coral could be gone forever by 2030. The warning is clear. If we lose the coral, we could quickly see the end of most ocean life and humans could swiftly follow. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World production.
Hey, this is Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Whoa.